This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on October 23, 2025 in Owen, Wisconsin.
Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a real joy to be here. I'm not exactly excited about speaking, but it has been fun, very enjoyable and encouraging to be here. Especially appreciated the talks already. And Richard, I don't know you as well, but James is my uncle, and I can honestly say, a man who has lived everything that he spoke, and I don't have time to share how he's helped me over the years, and I'm not sure that I could tell the story anyhow without emotions. But a man of helping people and using business as a ministry. So God bless you, James. So this. This topic, dollars and cents, my wife reminded me of a time when my oldest daughter, who's fairly emotional, or I'm not sure what the word would be, and she had money, like a lot of children do, a piggy bank, and she had what she called dollars, which were the green bills, and then cents to her were any kinds of coins, not just pennies and whatever. And so one time my wife kind of has bags that they can each put their money in, and she was counting it up, and she came to me and she said, Dad, I have more dollars than cents. And I said, well, that's probably true, it may be a story for her wedding day, but anyhow, that was something that crossed my mind. I did want to mention, we've heard a lot this morning about wealth and the Anabaptist people, and I would maybe just respectfully put in the counter side to that. Potentially, you're sitting here this morning, especially if you're a young person, and I consider myself young. I'm 45, young enough to be poor yet. And maybe you're thinking, well, where's all this wealth? Where's all this money? I'm trying to buy a house, a farm, run a business, whatever it is. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know enough about people that there's a lot of you in this audience that are thinking that. And as I think of our country even, the United States, we're the wealthiest country in the world by far, except we don't have any money the last time I checked. We've got a lot of debt. Sure, maybe we could sell Yellowstone National Park or something for a lot of money, or, you know, the government. There's a lot of assets that the government has, but are we the wealthiest country in the world, or aren't we? You know, and I'm guessing there's some of those dynamics at play in this room where there's a lot of wealth, but there's a lot of debt, and there's a lot of people here that probably are short on cash right now, okay? That's just the reality of life. And I would further add that there's kind of these, when it comes to wealth and the Anabaptist people, just my observation through the years is we have this, we're pulled two ways. We don't want to be, we know the dangers of wealth. We don't want to focus on wealth and whatever. But at the same time, I've noticed, and I just put this forth, perhaps a little bit of arrogance among us where we pride ourselves for being just a little more hardworking, frugal, wealthy, successful than the people around us. Can you kind of, I mean, kind of know what I'm saying here? And I'm just here to say, you know, not to pop our balloon, but we are not the most successful, wealthiest, financially successful people in this country. As a rule, some of the perimeters that have been put in place, smaller family businesses, not going to court, not having unequal yokes and so forth, have served to keep our culture and our companies smaller than a lot of the secular industries. And I know that from my work in accounting. So with those preludes, introductions here, I just wanted to establish up front that I do not come to you as someone who has all the answers by any means. I've certainly tried and experienced a lot of things, and that has taught me some things, but I've probably failed at about as many things as some people have tried. And my background, growing up, was a produce farmer. I wanted to become for some reason, I got on this track where I wanted to become a paramedic. I thought that sounded exciting. My dad kind of pulled me away from that. But then I became an accountant. And no one grows up wanting to be an accountant, I don't think. There's a saying that how can you tell an extroverted accountant, an outgoing accountant, from an introverted one, which is most accountants. The extroverted accountant looks at your shoes when he's talking to you, and the introverted one looks at his own shoes. So that's where it's at. And then secondly, I think I've experienced the role of employee, self-employed, and business owner, multiple years of all of those roles. And so I think I can identify just about with everyone here. That's my story. Your story, I'd like to just see, show of hands, how many of you here are what you would consider to be like where you own a business, and that's your raise of hands, and that's kind of your role, okay? And how many of you here would be, you know, work at a place, employees? Okay, a nice mix, probably tipped a little toward a business owner, and that helps guide the conversation here. But I hope that the common thread of today is that we're trying to do God's will, and that's what's exciting, and the speakers have so ably introduced that. So my topic is a little more, you've heard the spiritual side, mine is more the dollars and cents side, and we need that. We need the theory, and then we need the practical, and so I'll try to focus on that today. And let's just talk. What's the best financial path for your life? Covered those points already. What do I mean by financial path? How you earn a living, how you get ahead of financial struggle. And I would just repeat, as the previous speakers did, that success in life isn't financial. It's when you get to the end of your life and you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." But at the same time, no one likes to live in a cycle of financial struggle. At least I don't. And I'm assuming that the same is true for you. And so we just want to get practical about that today. So what are the options as you think of your financial path, what you could do? One would be to own a business, pretty straightforward. One would be to work for a company or organization, which is a unique, you know, that could be a nonprofit organization, a way to work in something that doesn't actually make a profit. It's hard to own something like that, easier to work for something of that nature. And then a third category that I would call working for yourself, self-employment, and we'll talk about that shortly. Those are the three options I brought today. I mean, there's always the live on welfare, have an inheritance, trust fund, baby or whatever, but I'm assuming we don't have that here today. And if there's time, I would, like I said, had diverse experiences, not always successful. If you have questions, something I said, I would like to leave a few minutes at the end if there's a question you'd like to ask. So option one, we're talking about what's the best financial path for you. And I have down here owning a business. We'll just dive into that. Two stories that I'd like to mention, just to give you the extremes. I worked with a man who worked a job most of his life, and then when he was in his 50s, he bought a company, borrowed money against his house just to make the first down payment on the business. And amazing manager, amazing man, and he, in 8 years' time, grew the company that he really didn't put any money into, you know, it was borrowed money, and sold out at the end for, he had a partner, but sold out at the end for, you know, in the neighborhood of, $70 million, let's say, in cash. That was his financial journey, and I'm just mentioning that. Bear with me here. Also, I worked with a man named Ashley, who had a furniture manufacturing business out of state, and it just never went well. Industry is not the issue here. It was him. He would come up here hunting. He was from down south. He'd bring his dog, stay at our place occasionally, or be there for supper, and just nothing but struggle. And he basically went bankrupt and found somebody to buy his company, and they took his factory on, and it basically bankrupted, he basically bankrupted the next company, and finally was able to just get out of business entirely, and I don't even know what he's doing today. But definitely not the best financial path for him, okay? So those are the stories. Just wanted to show you, it's not a guarantee that if you own a business that it's gonna go well. To make this option work, and we'll cover this quickly again when we talk about what's best for you, but just in general, owning a business generally requires a lot of capital. We live in a country where capitalism is the economic way of the land, and so if you do want to own a business, somewhere or another, you're going to have to get your hands on capital. Secondly, is an ability to execute, and by that I mean the pillars of sales, operations, and back-end accounting. You got to be able to bring work in the door, get it done, and keep track of how you're doing to see how to improve the process. You have to be able to execute on those three pillars of sales, operations, and accounting. And usually if things aren't going well, one of those three are neglected. Realistic expectations. As someone mentioned, if you're just in it for the money and you think it's going to make you rich and it's your ticket to financial prosperity, those are not realistic expectations. And then I would say ability to carry the long-term weight of leadership. And basically, you think of financial failure in running a business as the worst outcome. Sometimes success is as difficult as an outcome. You may get to a point in life that you never thought of where you have a successful operation, a lot of employees, people depending on you, customers depending on you, and you get to where Richard was and you say, I'm done. And then now what do you do? It really is a long-term weight that you carry. And that can be true if there's accidents on the job, people get hurt. That goes back to the owner, and you have to be ready to carry that weight. And even if it goes really, really well, and you get to the end, and I've seen this over and over again, and this is like, I'm saying wild, best case scenarios, the man I talked about at the beginning, you kind of have two options. One is to find an outside buyer with a lot of money that is going to take control of your company and potentially fire a lot of your employees, rejigger the business, and do with it what they will, but you get the big check. Or you find a family member, employee, whoever, that doesn't have any money and basically give the business to them. And so that's the long-term weight of leadership. And there's things in the middle, but that's the, I'm just trying to paint you a realistic picture of this financial path. So secondly, working for a company or organization, and I want to just make it clear today that this can be a very good path. I'm afraid there's a little bit of a thing in our culture where we almost elevate the idea of owning a business, and I just if that's not where it fits for you, and where God wants you, and even financially may not be the best thing. Quick story, when we got married, I was 27, and I was working a job. I didn't have my own company, but neither was I a very good financial manager. Still not necessarily am. But I had my wife, who I was getting married to, was 23 and was a school teacher. Okay, which I'm not sure how your schools operate, but generally not a high-paying situation. She had more money than me when we came together in our marriage, and I'm and I didn't even have any money. I'm saying like net worth, you know. Hers actually was cash, and so what I'm getting at is. This can be a very viable financial path, particularly if you just want to, you know, live life, lower stress, and find that to be a path for serving God in your life. Making this option work, I would just say that several key things, if you are working for someone, is, you know, to maximize the opportunity at the place where you're working. And don't just view it as a job, but actually be that good person where you give more than you take in your role, and you're there to help and move the company and your coworkers forward. Everyone likes to have someone like that to work with. Secondly, actively seek to learn on the job. There's a quote that I love. In the business world, everyone is paid in two coins, cash and experience. Take the experience first, the cash will come later. And I would just emphasize that. If you're in a role working for someone, do everything you can to just learn how to work with people, how to work with coworkers, how to do the skill. And someday, if God calls you to own a company, then you have that. Then you've learned that on somebody else's dollar. Find a good place to work. I do think if you want to settle in as that being your financial path, it is good to find a good place to work. Have a good leader for a boss, a place for integrity, a place for growth. And there are times, it's more about being the right person, number one, but there can be times where you do need to find a place that shares the same values. And then lastly, I do think, and this applies to any financial path, but holding your lifestyle steady so that as you grow in your earnings grow, your lifestyle doesn't just swell with that. And that takes, again, the perimeters and the care to make it happen. There's a story out there, you can actually look it up in the Wikipedia. A man named Ronald Reed from Vermont. He was just the idea of holding a steady lifestyle. He was a gas station. He worked at a gas station for a while, and then, as I understand, he took a part-time job as a janitor at a JCPenney and lived nobody even barely knew him. And when he died, he donated like $5 million to the local hospital and a million or two to the local library. And everybody just shook their heads at where in the world this money had come from. And it had come from his two simple jobs and just living a simple life and investing it a little bit. And he ended in a place where most business owners never get to. All right. Last option then, and then we'll try to make it practical. Working for yourself. And this one I can relate to. Between working for an accounting firm and where I'm at today, where I have my own accounting firm, I basically worked for myself, where I did all the, I did the work of the company, and I was the chief cook and bottle washer and whatever. I mean, I did everything, as they say. I would have been financially ahead, I think, to just continue with my job or with a job. It was a lot of stress, and I had to do everything myself, but I did enjoy it. I really did. And if that's what you're doing today or looking to do, it can be a viable option, and I put it up here. To make this one work, I would say it's very critical to keep business and personal separate, even if it is just a little operation. Have a separate checking account, and pay yourself a wage rather than just pulling money out whenever you feel like it or whenever there's money there. Even having a separate tax return, you know, you can have, there's ways to do that where it's not all mixed with your personal taxes and so forth. Also, you need to have clear boundaries. Be willing to say no, because you're doing all the work, and there needs to be some margin to do the administrative tasks. And you can't just work 40 hours a week. You have to run the operation. And then be content. This type of a role is not about growth. It's about a sustainable life for you and your family. And it can actually fit our culture well. All right. So what is the best option for you? And you're going to have to decide that. I threw out some generalities, and we heard about prayer. We heard about seeking God's will. I have here, what does God want you to do? Don't forget that. Let God lead and open doors. Don't force your life. If I look back, the times that I pushed my way to decisions I wanted are the times that I greatly regret. And then what fits your skill set? I would encourage you not to try something that you're just, your heart's not in it, you know, where you just want to be a business owner, to be a business owner. Or I see business owners who are gifted at being business owners who want to be an employee. And again, God's not calling them to do that. And sometimes you have to embrace what God has given you to do. All right, so just drilling in, looking at these three options again, what's the best financial option for you? I just want to mention some practical things as you think about this. Just things to consider for your personality and your skill set. Just hear me out on this. One is that you excel at running things, you know, sales, operations, accounting. And I know those are tedious words, but as a business owner, you've got to have them covered or you're setting yourself up for failure. It's just how it is. And if those scare you, either got to learn them or find a different path. Another thing is handling imperfection. If people work for you and you have a company, it just isn't the same as if you are doing the thing yourself. And you just have to be okay with that. And if you can't handle that, then it's probably not a good path to go down the owning a business. You don't mind being cash poor most of your life. And you may be thinking, now wait a minute, I thought if I was a business owner that I would have, that's why I want to be a business owner, so I have more resources. And I would just, from great personal and my own experience and in working with many, 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 many businesses across the country, you show me a business, first generation business owner that has started a growth company, and I will show you a man that is constantly out of money, okay? That is just how it is. You do hit phases in life when when you're on the other side, maybe 60 years old and starting to hit that second generation or where you're not growing as much, where the cash can start coming, but you will be cash poor most of your life as a business owner. And I'm not going to ask how many business owners agree with me, but I think I would see a lot of hands go up. It's just how it is. And it's stressful. And you have to be prepared to handle that reality. And I don't want to get carried away here with, you know, this sounds almost bad, loving the entrepreneurial game. Game is probably the wrong word. But if you don't enjoy starting things and running things and solving problems and doing things, that's really what it's all about in this role, is using that skill set more than trying to make a bunch of money or anything like that. It's an aptitude for solving problems. And if you find yourself naturally, you know, starting things and running things and doing things on the side and whatever, potentially that is your skill set. And it another way to find out if you have that would probably be to ask your coworkers or your, you know, someone in your life that do you think I have this aptitude toward running a business? Do you think that would be something that God could see me doing? I would say that if this option is executed well and it is what God is calling you to do, it often can offer, in the end, the highest financial return. If executed medium or poorly, which is a lot of cases, it can be the worst option. I have on here, this is in a room like this, it probably is a higher percentage of people just because the Anabaptist people are naturally entrepreneurial. But it's a relatively small crowd where this is the best financial path. And it's not a better crowd, it's just a different crowd. And I want to emphasize that. So secondly, working for a company, when is that the best financial option? If you don't enjoy financial risk and stress, I had a man that worked for me that had a business for a while, and he finally just could not handle, he had to put his personal guarantees on the company's debt, and he just couldn't sleep at night. I mean, the loans were way bigger than what he could personally pay off, and he said, Scott, I just couldn't take it after a while. And that, if you know, if it's going to eat you up or something, that just is not, you know, this can be a very good option. Appreciating consistent income, almost guaranteed paycheck. You'd rather be a helper or an investor than an owner. You know, working and then investing on the side. And wanting to keep your options open. Once you make the move, and it's like I said, the long-term weight of leadership, don't underestimate that. When you start something, it can be pretty hard to pull back. And as long as you're working for a company or organization, you do have wide open options. I wanted to mention this just because the committee had kind of asked me to look at this. The idea of how do you build equity, let's say, and have enough to retire on and stuff if you are an employee. There's this idea that maybe that would be more difficult. And I already mentioned the story of that man from Vermont that ended at a place where most business owners don't end. And I just wanted to give you an illustration here of an employee who begins working at age 18, and this is real math here, and he or she sets aside $193 a week. That comes to $10,000 a year, and puts it into something. Maybe buys farmland, or there's all kinds of things. Some people do. I have a cousin that has ice machines, and he sells ice to people. He has these machines in town, and he's kind of got this side thing. Or it could be, some people get into mutual funds and whatever. I don't want to dwell on the investment side of things, but something that would earn over time 8% return. And again, we're just talking an employee paying off the top, taking $193 a week and in investing it. At the end of 10 years, that employee would obviously have put $100,000 into this fund and have gained $44,000. At the end of 20 years, it really starts changing. They would have $457,000. At the end of 30 years, that would have grown to $1.1 million. And at the end of 40 years, with the employee being only 58, they would have in this investment account or land or whatever it is, $2.5 million. And just for fun, if you go another 10 years, $5.7 million, which incidentally is very close to that example of the man from Vermont. I do not want to encourage anyone here to get excited about having $5.7 million. I don't even think that would be good for you. But what I give this example is to show there are very few business owners that walk away at the end of running a business all their life with $5.7 million in cash, okay? And even the ones who do, it tends to have been the investments that they made in their property, in farming, it would be their land. It's not like the farm magically came up with that kind of money. It's the investing that they did. And so I think that is the thing I want to just make clear is the financial aspect of these choices can actually be very similar between a business or a paycheck situation. So lastly then, self-employment could be an option for you if you are highly disciplined, able to keep business and personal separate. You're entrepreneurial, but you're not excited about managing people or operations. You just want to do your own thing. And you're in a trade that lends itself to self-employment, like, say, a painter or an accountant or maybe a drywaller or an electrician. There's different trades that fit the one-man operation that can be a very good financial path for you or for me. Like I said, I tried it and greatly enjoyed it until God led on different paths. Again, this, I'd say the middle option is the most common. This third one is a relatively small crowd, not a better crowd, just a different crowd. So wrapping up, and then there's a few minutes left. If anyone has a question or something that didn't make sense, shout it out. If there aren't any questions, I will just sit down. But to wrap up here, I want to make it clear that financial success and failure is very possible in any situation. I hope I have made that clear today. Owning a business is not a guaranteed path to financial success, and being an employee is not a guaranteed path to financial failure. They both can work well if you use common sense and make the best of your situation. And I would just suggest again that owning a business is more about using your skill set of entrepreneurship and putting pieces together than it is about wealth accumulation. And as others have said, if your goal is to own a business and get wealthy, you will beat your head against the wall all of your life. And then thirdly, no option can overcome poor financial stewardship, no matter what I'm doing or what you are doing. That's all I have today. I would, if there is anyone that has a question, I don't know if I have an answer, but I would open it up for a few seconds here to hear from you. Yes, sir. So the question was, if you are an employee and looking for an opportunity to put some money aside for retirement or, you know, to what are the options? Could you go to Anabaptist Financial? And that is certainly a whole separate topic, and one that I have deep interest in. I personally have, in going to school, just real nutshell thing here, I really had interest in stocks and bonds, options trading, that type of thing. And that became, I was like Jesus told the rich young ruler, you know, you have this pile of idols here, you know, your guns, your boat, your hunting land, whatever. That has to go because they're idols, right? For me, it was my stocks and bonds and stuff, but it's still a topic I love, right? And but there are plenty of options. It's probably just a topic though for a different day. Seek someone out if that's the question. Anyone else? Yes, sir. So the question was, is 8% a reasonable number? And obviously, it depends when you start and when you stop. I mean, you know, there's times in history that you could, if you go from the highest farmland years and end at a low farmland year, you won't get 8%. And there's other periods where it's maybe 20%. I mean, over time, I know, just take farmland, something that we're all familiar with here. You know, I'd say it has grown 10 times in the last 30, 40 years, right? And I didn't even do the math on that, but it would have to be, you know, somewhere in that vicinity. So, yes. Yeah, the question was, you can, if you do have farmland as an investment, you can help another brother with his farm renting from you, and that's part of the 8%. I mean, that has to be factored in, especially in Wisconsin, where the maintenance of farmland is very low. I mean, property tax is almost nothing. I am at 12 seconds left. Good questions, and I wish you God's blessing as you serve Him in whatever role He has placed you in today. God bless you.